Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Prof. Barry Shude now, he's the chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID vaccines. And it's very important, of course, to have this daily update, especially with somebody as accomplished as Professor Shube. Prof, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chad. Good to be back again after quite a long time.
I've been gone a while, and it's good to have you back, and it's really good to hear your voice. Prof, let's get right down to it. Why are you not allowed to get vaccinated if you've had COVID-19?
No, not at all. The other way around. In fact, we actually recommend that people that have had COVID-19 should get vaccinated. The reason for that is that actually it's a very unusual circumstance. Because normally, the immunity which you get after the natural infection beats the vaccine. We see that with measles. We see that with many other viral infections, that the natural infection actually gives you quite a significantly better, long-lasting, more durable, more effective immunity as compared to the vaccine. COVID, however, is the other way around. COVID, the vaccine seems to give you a better immunity than the natural infection. There may be a reason for that, because when they actually make the vaccine, they actually tweak that part which is actually going to stimulate the immune system. We've discussed it before, the spike protein, that's a critical part of the virus. What they've done actually in the research and the development of that vaccine, they've actually stabilized that little protein there. So it gives a much stronger stimulation to the immune system than the natural infection does. So the bottom line, our recommendation, our practical recommendation, if somebody has had COVID, they should go for the vaccination, but wait a period of about a month, 30 days after recovery, if they've been ill, or 30 days after they've had a positive test, if they haven't been ill, and then go get the vaccine. They will then get a very good immune response because they've already been primed by the infection, and now when they get the vaccine, it's going to boost the already educated immune system. So, yeah, that's our recommendation.
So the question should have been with a caveat, why are you not allowed to get vaccinated straight after you've had COVID-19? So let's just cover that. Why do we wait that 1 month? Is it to allow the body to come back to normal after creating these immunities?
Yeah, it's more or less that kind of thing. Basically, once one has had the infection, you are immune anyway. You do have a pretty good immunity after recovery, after infection. So there's no necessity to get the vaccine earlier than a month. The reason why we do prefer to wait that month is that once you've had the illness, you've got various kind of chemicals which are part of the immune response circulating in your bloodstream. If you now wham your body again, you're probably going to get quite a lot more side effects from the vaccine. So it's probably better to kind of wait a period of time. So those in what you call the immune intermediaries settle down and then get the vaccine. And a month is probably a good time to wait. And then if you do get the vaccine, you're probably going to minimize your chances of getting those side effects.
So, Prof, there's a lot of mixed messages out there regarding the number of jabs that are required. We know that they're the single-shot jabs, but where there's the Pfizer two-shot, we're now hearing some countries wanting to maybe go as far as three-shot, but we also heard other countries saying where there was going to be two shots to try roll it out even more and to more people and to ensure there's enough stock, they're going to limit it to one. What is really happening out there, and what is your opinion on a third shot?
Yeah. Well, you know, there have been quite a lot of studies now, and that have really determined that in most individuals, a third dose is not necessary. Third shot's not necessary. Or in the case of Johnson & Johnson, a second shot is not necessary. That's in the majority of cases. There are circumstances, and these are particularly people that are immunosuppressed. In other words, their immune systems are not functioning normally. Either they are on various drugs, to take one extreme, transplant patients, or alternatively, they've been treated for cancer, which also suppresses the immune system, or there are certain diseases like HIV, for example, which suppress the immune system. In those individuals, the normal two doses of Pfizer or the one dose of Johnson is not going to actually stimulate the immune system adequately. And in those particular individuals, there may be a place, I'm saying maybe depending on the individual, for a third dose of Pfizer or a second dose of Pfizer to boost the Johnson & Johnson. That was the booster dose. That's basically the medical issue. There is a third category, and those are the healthcare workers, because they are really in a high-risk situation coming into contact, really frontline healthcare workers. There may be a place, and I don't want to say there is, but there may be. This is being looked at. We've actually got a technical working group of the MAC, of the Ministerial Advisory Committee, specifically looking at that issue. So there may be a recommendation for healthcare workers. There may not be, depending on what they find. But certainly immunosuppressed individuals, there certainly is a place. But there's an ethical issue as well, an ethical moral issue. And that is the World Health Organization has actually called for a moratorium on not giving third until we've covered more and more people. And there is some logic in that, because if we can theoretically, hypothetically, if we can get a high enough level of immune coverage, of vaccination coverage globally, for example, then we will actually have beaten the epidemic. The epidemic itself will die down and there won't be the need for it. So there's a sort of a global moral ethical plea not to have third dose, and also not to kind of lower the age to younger children and adolescents who are not really a particular risk of disease. And that's been done in the high, beg your pardon, in the high income countries. Excuse me. And it probably isn't ethically not justifiable if there's going to be a shortage worldwide.
Well, that would make perfect sense. And I think there's been this conflicted news around the world where people have said that there's been this almost vaccination storage where they've tried to keep extra amounts should there be another outbreak in that country, not thinking about those emerging economies and those other countries that may need it. So it makes perfect sense what you just said.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, of course, whether wealthy countries will abide with that, of course, is another story. It is a sort of a kind of a universal global moral obligation in a way. But, you know, the kind of vaccine inequity at the moment, I think speaks volumes that I think the high-income countries are not. Look, they have donated vaccine, a surplus vaccine, particularly the United States, but certainly not to, you know, there are the poorer income countries which are at a very low level of vaccine coverage at the moment.
Professor, thank you so much for your insight as always.
Thank you, Chad. Thanks for having me.